is the installation of Pastor Joe Romeo as the lead pastor of Crossroads Community Church. And so it's our privilege to be able to pray for him. We're hoping to bless him today, and we're hoping that the Holy Spirit will fill him and empower him for this work that he's got ahead of him, and to lay the foundation, the course for everything that we're going to do together. So let's open with a prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in every age you've chosen servants to speak your word and lead your people. We thank you for Joseph, our brother, called by you and set apart by the church, and by your guidance assigned to Crossroads Community Church as pastor. Of your goodness, O Lord, give him the shepherd's heart and the prophet's voice to be the leader's hand of authority and compassion as he assumes his responsibilities here. May he be true and faithful to you and to his people. Fill him with your spirit, that he may have the same mind that is in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Pastor Steve McLean's been the pastor of Argyle Church, Presbyterian Church in upstate New York for over 30 years. And he's been a mentor to Pastor Joe for around 2 years now. So we welcome him to lead us in a word. Thank you.
Joe and I have had one of those online relationships that they warn you not to have. You can kind of tell kids not to have. We were matched probably almost 2 years ago by a mutual friend named Zach Eswine. He's done a lot of writing about pastoral ministry. And so once a month for the last 18 months or so, Joe and I have met by Skype to talk about pastoral ministry. And the reason that Joe and I were matched initially was because I pastor in a small town, rural community in upstate New York, lots of dairy farms, no traffic lights, 100 square miles, 3,000 people in 100 square miles. And Joe was in a rural community in Iowa, and so Zach thought I might have some things I could share with Joe about rural ministry. And we've talked a lot about rural ministry for the last 18 months, and then he moves here to Framingham. Holy moly. But I did grow up in suburban Philadelphia, so I know what it's like to sit in traffic and have endless shopping malls and that kind of thing. But I want to really thank Joe. I want to thank the elders here for the invitation to be a part of this service. It's quite an honor. I went to seminary at Gordon-Conwell, and so I lived on the North Shore for 2 years, Kim and I, and at that point we had two of our four children. And we just grew in love with this area. And we love Boston. We love coming back here. My son-in-law is actually in town and attending the Society for Biblical Literature conference downtown. So I got to drive him downtown this morning to the Heinz Auditorium, and just brought back great memories of driving in Boston traffic. People honking their horns to welcome me to town and things like that. It was terrific. But I need to be honest with you. In the 2 years, we grew in love with this area, but we did not grow in love with your sports teams. Having grown up in Philadelphia, your Bruins and Celtics were arch rivals to our 76ers and Flyers. I don't have any particular animosity to the Patriots and the Red Sox, but when you're a Phillies and an Eagles fan, it's hard not to resent teams that have had as much success as those two teams have had. It is just a great privilege to be here. And my task today is to give a charge to Joe. But I need to tell you, and I think you'll pick this up as we go along, that if you just change a few words and a few names, this charge really is for all of us. Whether our primary ministry is in the church or in the home or in the marketplace, these are words that apply to all of us. You know, when you give a pastor a sort of an open field like this and say, well, you know, speak on anything you want. Gosh, there's so much material. There's all of Paul's charges to Timothy and to various churches. There's things I've learned in my 31 years of marriage. But there's a phrase that I learned years ago from a ministry called Mission Year. It's an urban ministry. And their motto is love God, love others, nothing else really matters. And so I want to frame my charge to you, to Joe, around that phrase. Of course, we know where they got that idea from. You know, the Pharisee came to Jesus one day and said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, with all of your mind and all of your strength. And then as a bonus, he throws in a second one and he says, a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he ties those two together. They're inseparable. You can't do one without doing the other. So Joe, to be a faithful pastor, and I just want to concentrate on the word faithful. You're not called to be a successful pastor. In fact, if you're a faithful pastor, there'll be times when you're not successful. Just ask Jeremiah or Jesus or Isaiah. But to be a faithful pastor, you obviously need to love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so that means that it's important for you to identify those spiritual disciplines that help you do that and establish them and protect them. And, you know, there's some basic spiritual disciplines, I think, that all of us need to be a part of. You know, reading scripture, praying, being a part of worship. But one of the things that I've been blessed by the ministry of Dallas Willard, and I know you're somewhat familiar with Dallas, but Dallas says that the most important spiritual discipline for us Western Christians to practice is the discipline of solitude. Because of the busyness of our lives, solitude is the thing that maybe we need to integrate. And so I would encourage you, if you don't already do this, to integrate things like solitude, silence, fasting from time to time, to help you grow in your love for God. Determine not to let the discouragements and even the delights of this work as pastors to distract you from those spiritual disciplines. You need to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But as Jesus went on to say, you need to love others as well. To be a faithful pastor, you need to love others. And the others that you need to love first are Deborah and Anthony and Jacelyn and Dominic. They're your closest neighbors, you may have noticed. And before you get to interact with any of your other neighbors, you interact with them. You know, the work of pastoring is great work, and as has been mentioned, I've been a pastor for 31 years, and I've just absolutely loved it. But every night when I go to bed, and every night when you go to bed, the work is not done. There are still folks who don't know Jesus. There's still disciples who are not quite leaning into that in the way they should. There's still broken people who will need your help and healing. And so your love for your family will require you to set boundaries. And actually, Deborah will help you do that. God has given us wives who are relational experts to help us see things sometimes that we don't see. But second, you'll need to love the Crossroads congregation. They are your fellow ministers, strugglers, and companions in the work of the church. I've always been challenged by Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, where he says, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." There's lots of administration, lots of meetings, lots of study that goes into being a pastor, but you don't want to neglect your relationships with the congregation. Share your life with them in their homes, in their workplaces, their schools, in coffee shops. Gosh, there's a lot of coffee shops in this area, aren't there? We have one Stewart's convenience store in our town. Just great places for you to meet with people, hang out with people, love them. May it be said by the folks of the Crossroads congregation, Joe loved us so much that he shared not only the gospel with us, but his very life as well. And then finally, you want to love the people of this community. You know, it's good news, not only for the Crossroads Church, but for this area that the Romeos have come to town. You want to give yourself to helping this community flourish. So find ways where your interests and passions match the needs of this community. Maybe it's coaching Little League games or going to high school football. Or in my town, it's being on the rescue squad or the fire company. Lots of opportunities for you to love your neighbors. You don't want to stay inside the four walls of this church, literally or figuratively. Get out and love the people of this area. There's a lot more that I can say, and I've been telling you for a year and a half, so, and we'll continue to tell you about this wonderful work that God has entrusted to us of pastoring. But the most important thing that I've learned about being a pastor, about being a husband, about being a father, about being a follower of Christ, is love God, love others, because there's nothing else that really matters that much. May I pray for you? Father, we thank you for the great work of the church. We thank you that you have called us as your people into this family that we call church. And in fact, you have made us the hope of this world. I thank you, Lord, for this ministry of the Crossroads Community Church and the work that you have been doing here and the work that you are doing and the work that you will be doing. And I thank you for calling Joe and Deborah and their kids to be a part of that work. I pray that you would knit their hearts together. I pray that together they would love you wholeheartedly. They would love one another, that they would love their neighbors. And at the end of the day, Lord, there would be people in this community who would know Jesus Christ because of their faithfulness to you. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Somebody asked me, what is the solemn part of this gathering? Because when I made an announcement, I said, there's going to be a solemn part. And that solemn part is this part right here, where the members and attenders of our church make vows to Joe. And Joe makes some vows to you. So if you're a member or an attender here, I'm going to ask you to stand. Do you, the people of this congregation, affirm your desire to receive Joe Romeo, whom you have called as your pastor? If you do, say a hearty, we do.
We do.
Do you promise to receive God's word as he preaches it before you with meekness and love and submit to him and those in leadership with him? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you promise to pray for and encourage him as he ministers among you, assisting him as God directs? If so, say we do.
We do.
And last, do you promise to support him with adequate stewardship so that his time and energies may be focused without worry on the Father's business? If so, say we do.
We do.
I'll have you remain standing. I'm going to ask Joe to come up. And I ask you, Joe, are you willing to take the charge of this congregation as their pastor, responding to and accepting their call? If so, say, I am willing.
I am willing.
Do you believe that, as far as you know, that your motivations are led by the Holy Spirit to assume this position, having a sincere wish to glorify God and to promote the good of his body, the church? If so, say, I do believe.
I do believe.
And will you lead this congregation in its commitment to reflect Jesus Christ and serve this community, however God in his wisdom may give opportunity? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And then last, you promise that you will love the people whom God has brought or shall bring into this fellowship, and that with the help of God's grace, as well as the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit, that you will endeavor to be a faithful pastor, just as a shepherd cares for his flock, and that you will carefully maintain a lifestyle which is in harmony with God's word. If so, say, I do.
I do.
Lord, we thank you for this special moment. It is a solemn moment because we recognize the seriousness of the charge that Joe's been received, the vows that we take to join him in this work, and the vows that he takes as our pastor. We pray, Lord, that this union, this joining together of congregation and pastor will be a blessing to those who are part of the body and a blessing to those who are outside of the body. We ask it in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And now we have a charge to the congregation. I'm not sure how I got this job, but it is with joy that I charge you. I charge you with these words from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. It says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." We said as a congregation that we wanted a preacher and a teacher. We said that we wanted a man of character. We said that we wanted a shepherd. We said that we wanted an outgoing, friendly, relational leader. And I say we got what we wanted. Do you agree? Yeah. The search team did a great job identifying Joe and Joe's family. And, you know, I have stopped and thanked God many days since they arrived for that. Today, I want to call your attention to the first part of what we said we wanted, which is a preacher and a teacher. We have a preacher and a teacher. Now what? The rub is that we say we want great preaching until we actually get it. I don't know about you, but several times in the last month, I've wanted to send Joe back to Iowa. Pastor Vinny, you can think like things like that, but you can't say things like that out loud. Well, bear with me for a moment. Why did I want to send him back to Iowa? He said some hard things these last few months from the pulpit. He said some things that at first I didn't want to hear. He said some things that went against the grain of my sinful nature. If my ears were itching, he didn't say anything that scratched them, if you know what I mean. Here's what I've come to believe, that it's not great preaching that makes a great church. You hear that often. People say great preaching makes a great church. I don't believe that. I think that it's great Bible application. When we walk out those doors, if we have no intention on obeying what we've heard, we will not be a great church. My prayer is that the passion that we had for wanting a preacher and a teacher to be in this position as pastor of our church will also translate into a passion for living out what the preacher and teacher tells us and shows us. Each week, I believe Joe is going to deliver the God-breathed, divinely inspired scriptures that so many of us have come to love. But that will not do anything for us if we do not enter this building ready to receive those words, and if we do not leave the building with a commitment to obey them. Each week, Joe will be looking into the mirror of God's Word to see what it says to him in his own life. And he is going to become fully equipped as he's in the Word to work here among us. But the end result is not only that he is fully equipped for the work of the ministry, but that you and I are also fully equipped for this work. And I believe this is the beauty and also the mystery of preaching. That the preacher gets into the Word, that it teaches, that it rebukes, that it corrects, and it trains him. And then he stands here in this spot, and he shares with us what he has learned. This correlates well with the work of the pastor that's laid out in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, where he is called to equip the believers for the work of the ministry. That's Joe's job, to equip you and me for the work of the ministry. We are fond of judging pastors' ministries, aren't we? Well, he was good at this, but he wasn't good at that. Oh, he was really good with this, but not so much that. When was the last time you heard someone evaluate a congregation on how well they received the equipping of their pastors? It's so much easier to focus on the other person, the pastor, than it is on myself, the congregation. The effectiveness of Joe's ministry is partially going to depend on how well we receive and live out what he lays out for us each week on Sundays. So please, I encourage you and I charge you to take Sundays seriously. First, be here. I'm probably preaching to the choir because you're here on a Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But be here on Sundays when you're not out of town. Be here early. Bring somebody with you. Anticipate what God is going to do when we come to this place. Try to tune out everything else that's going on and try to tune into the message. Maybe it'll help you to take one of the pencils from in front of you and take notes on Sunday. Go over the notes during the week with your family, maybe before dinner or after dinner. When you lose attention, let the Holy Spirit gently bring you back to attention. Be an active participant at worship. Don't be passive. Keep the flame alive during the week. Be in God's Word during the week so when you get here on Sunday, it's an overflow. You can find out generally from the weekly email that we send out what scriptures are going to be shared on that Sunday. You can read that scripture before you get here. You can see how God speaks to you and to match it up with what Joe's sharing with us. Make time to slow down each day and to practice the presence of God. Reflect on His Word. Again, like I said, come to church full of the Word and let the preaching just overflow your cup. Church, I believe if we do this, that God will use His Word to prepare and equip us, His people, to do every good work. Amen. All right, we're going to have a time of prayer now for Joe. I'm going to pass it over to Phil, the chair of our elder team.
Thank you. So if any elders here, please come up. We're going to lay hands on Pastor Joe. And we're going to pray for him. And please all join us in this praying. We won't have a chance for everybody to pray out loud, but obviously the Lord hears the prayers of our hearts. So lay our hands on Pastor Joe. Father God, thank you so much for your divine hand on what goes on here. Father God, we commit this church to you. It's your church. It's not our church, Lord. And it's by your power that your kingdom comes and that your will be done here. And we pray, Father God, for your hand of blessing and wisdom and anointing on Joe as he leads this church. We pray, Father, for inspiration as he prepares for sermons. We pray, Heavenly Father, for guidance as he searches the scriptures and commentaries and other things and as he prays about it. We pray that you'd specifically show him what he needs to speak to us. Give him wisdom and guidance how to tackle difficult issues as they come up. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd bless his family and the unity therein. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless the elders and the staff as we work together as a team to do your work. We commit this to you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name.
Lord, we want to be grateful for what you have done for us as a church, that you have brought us to this special moment. And we thank you for Joe. We thank you for Deborah. We thank you for their children. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless them to be a blessing. Bless them and bless their neighbors. Bless them and bless their church. Bless them and bless their extended families. Lord, would you use them in our church family here? And would you help us to be a blessing to him and his family?
Father, we thank you so much for the work that you're already doing in us in the past few weeks as we have grown to appreciate the hard things that Joe has said and the wonderful things that Joe has said. We thank you for him and for his family. And as we anticipate the future of this congregation, and we look to you and we ask that you would fill our hearts and our minds, give us the ears to hear, the feet to carry ourselves to other places in this world to deliver your word. We ask your blessing on every single one of the people in this congregation, people we haven't even met yet. We ask that you would bless us through Joe. Help us to return those blessings back to you, Lord.
Father, it's been a long time coming, but you are faithful. You have answered our prayers, God. You have brought us a pastor, contemplative pastor, Lord, a shepherd. Thank you for that, Lord. And the work is not done, Lord. And I just pray that you just pour your Holy Spirit over Joe and that it just overflows in our body and our spirit, Lord. And in this congregation, Lord, that we realize it's just not the work of Joe, Lord. It's your work that it's going on at Crossroads, Father. Pray that you continue to bless Joe and his family, Lord, and that Crossroads can become a continued and extended family to him, Lord, and that we are all one in you, Lord. But may your Spirit continue to bless us and just the community that we have planted us into, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh God, our Father, you saw us when we formed the search committee. You saw us when we were looking, when they were working very hard, pouring over resumes, listening to sermons, doing a lot of hard work to find the man who would be the next pastor here at Crossroads. You saw us then, and even at that time, you knew who you had in mind to bring to us here. And we thank you, Lord, that we are here, that we are all here today together, celebrating your faithfulness. You saw us, and you answered our prayers even before we asked them. You brought Joe to us even before we knew that we needed him, that he would be the one. And Lord, let us remember, let us be very conscious that it was you, and that it was your orchestration of all of these things that have brought us all here together today.
Father, thank you that we have the privilege of coming to you. I pray for our new pastor and brother Joe, that this day and all his days he would come to know you better and better. And through this, so would we. The blessing of being in your presence. I pray this in Jesus' name.
We're going to worship the Lord with another song here. And a pass to Tim.
What a great choir you are. I hope you can all come back tomorrow so we can do this again. I'm going to ask everyone to sit down, unless you are a pastor or a ministry leader, a leader of a ministry or nonprofit or something like that, because I'd like to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to Joe and the congregation. And if you have a word that you want to say to Joe or to the congregation, we'll give you that option as well. So I'm just going to move around with the microphone. Can you just raise your hand? I know I see a few of you out there, and if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to come to you.
Hi, Joe. I'm Steve Hope. This is the first you guys are supporting a ministry with international students in Boston. Back in either 1990 or 91, this was the first church that came on board, even before my home church. This has been a faithful church. I love you guys. It's been fantastic. And, Joe, you've got a great congregation ahead of you. So I'm just glad to meet you. And I've read about you and heard about you and look forward to meeting you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Steve Hope. Who else is out there? I see Ron.
Joe, Deborah, God bless you. You indeed are a gift that God has given this church. They've long waited for you, and I think they're ready to hear and follow your leading. And so I am just rejoicing. Both Paula and I are just so excited about the fact that you're here and even the good things that we hear now and again. thank the Lord for you both and for your whole family. I trust all is going well and will be faithful and effective. God bless you.
I see Josh.
Hold it up high. Joe, nice to meet you. My name is Josh Morrison. I serve over at Faith Community Church, the Director of Outreach. And Crossroads holds a very near and dear place to both mine and my wife's heart. Huge part of our story in moving to New England. So I am so excited to hear you coming on board. And I can't wait to meet you personally and see what God does through you. Thank you.
Could you introduce your wife to us?
You want my wife to talk? You have no idea what you're in for, Vinny.
Hi, Deborah. Those who have done the ministry thing know that it impacts family like nothing else. So, hello. I have met your husband on screen a couple times as I've been doing laundry or whatever. And I look forward to a chance to actually meet you. And I love you, not having met you yet.
Did I miss anybody? Okay, let's rise to our feet as one. And one of our elders, Bruce Farrell, is going to close us in prayer.
Let us pray. As we come to the close of this service, the installation of our new pastor, Joe Romeo, at your church in Framingham, let us do so as grateful people. Grateful to you, God our Father, for your love for us in Christ Jesus our Lord, from whom nothing can separate us. Grateful to you, Jesus, for your love for us, proven by giving your very life for us, a love beyond what we can possibly comprehend. Grateful for one another here today, for each and every person, as well as those not present, bound together as a family through the common faith you have given us. In the words of that ancient hymn, "Come, ye thankful people, come." It is especially fitting that we do in this season of Thanksgiving come together for this purpose. Putting over any differences we may have, the love of Christ, to that end we be united as one people. Let us now unite behind and in support of our new pastor. Following his example, as he follows the example of Christ. May he experience joy in your presence, and may we together with him go forward with hope. Hope in you who forgives our sins and raises us up. Hope in you who has good plans for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope in a future. And finally, hope in you who will fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in you, that we may indeed overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And to this will God's people now say together, Amen. Amen.